Sorry, wasn't all the way up. Remember that up is not necessarily all the way up. So, amen. And for the electronically challenged among us, amen. I always get a kick out of getting the opportunity to minister the word here. We are so blessed with ministry in this house. And, you know, we have Brother Lynn, Pastor Lisa, and we're just so blessed. And so it's an opportunity that don't take lightly. You know, we've come through a year of mess. I mean, it's just been a mess. You know, you wearing your masks and getting shots and avoiding people, and it's just been a difficult year for everybody. And it feels like, you know, you hear it on the news and you see it, and it feels like things are opening up, right? And they are. And, you know, I think that as we try to go into the Word today, and I am not Brother Lynn or Sister Lisa, but I'm Brother Jim. And as we go into the Word today, you know, I just want to try and bring to us an understanding and perhaps a little bit of encouragement that, you know, over the last year as things have closed down, we've somewhat closed ourselves, right? Because we're not necessarily as just overall open to things. And it creates a sense of pressure on the folks. And you watch folks and you go shake somebody's hand. You're not sure if they're a fist bumper or they're a handshaker or an elbow guy, or, you know, you don't know. And so you go up to somebody, and instead of just going up and shaking their hand, which is what, you know, I like to do, you shake your hand, they go, right? And so you don't know. And, you know, as we go through life, we don't always know. We don't always know what's going to happen in our life. You know, Sherry and I have been blessed over the last year. Some folks would say, well, you were, you know, lost your job in February. Yeah, but I've been blessed because I got another job, right? And I got a better job. And God has blessed us, and He'll continue to bless us. And He's blessing you. And you may say, oh, Jim, you don't know my situation. But God will bless you, and He is blessing you. If you can bring that first scripture up this morning, Jamie. Now, if I read too much to you, you can tell me about it afterwards. And it's my prerogative. I'm here. So if I read too much to you, you can tell me about it afterwards. But we're going to go to the book of Philippians chapter 4 first. And we're going to go through a few scriptures and a few things, and we're going to end it up with some little story, and then we're going to wrap it up. So this could be 10 minutes, it could be 20, could be an hour. I mean, I'm just preparing you ahead of time. So be ready to get to lunch early, or be ready to get to lunch late. So we'll see how it plays out. But Philippians 4, 7, and 8. And, you know, I labor over the word trying to determine what God would have me to say. He'll put a thought in my head, and then the thought has to develop, right? I mean, you have to take that thought, you develop that thought, and hope that God will take it and make it grow, right? So, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what? think on these things. And, you know, we used to have a brother that came to our church here, Brother Lee Eckel. What a good man he was. He was just a good man, a precious brother. But one of the things that he would do when he would get up to pray, or he would get up to speak, or he would get up to say anything, or just sometimes given a word of testimony from the pew, he would always say that God has given us many precious promises. And he'd stand in front of a group in a prison, and we'd be in the jail services, and he'd say, and God has many precious promises for you. And I think about that religiously, that God does have precious promises for us. And you know, one of the promises in the scripture, and I think about it every time we worship, and I'm just going to let this go as I go. And sometimes that can be a little bit helter-skelter. If you ask Sherry, my mind's all over the place sometimes. But, you know, as I stand up here and worship, you know, back when I was a kid, part of my life as a child, I went to a little country church. But part of my life, I went to this big church in town. And that church had one of those big balconies, right? Up above. And when you'd stand in front of the church and you'd see this big nobody was ever up there, right? Because the church was never full, but there was a balcony up there. So one time, apparently, that got full, or there's a reason for that. And as I stand up here and I worship sometimes, or wherever I'm at and I'm worshiping, I think about that scripture where it talks about, and I believe it's in Hebrews, where it talks about we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, right? With a big cloud of witnesses. And we're encompassed about, right? We're encompassed about. And as I think about that, I think about, well, is there a heaven? Yes, I believe that there is. And are we encompassed about? Yes, I believe we are. And as I think about that, I think about Brother Echo, and I think about Pastor Jack, and I think about all the folks that have gone on before us, right? And I believe that they're in that cloud. I believe that they're around us, and I believe as we worship, they worship, right, in the heavenly realm. Now, don't think Jim's getting all spooky and spoochy out there, but it's a truth, right? We sometimes play it down, but there is a heaven. And in that heaven, there are those that have gone on before. And when we worship and we raise up Christ, they're worshiping. And so when I think of that, I think of these folks that have gone on before as we worship. And I thought about Brother Echo and his precious promises. And it wasn't just that he said, it was the way he said it. It was the way he said it. Because he believed it. He believed it. And he believed it. He believed it because he knew that if God could save him, then God could save anybody. You know, some of us have had a past that's not stellar. And if God can save us, he can save anybody. And so we get to appreciate those precious promises that God has laid out for us. And we're going to go to a few of those here, and then we're going to move forward. Jeremiah 29:11. And he said, "For I know the plans that I have for you." Now listen, plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now that's a precious promise, right? He has plans for you, not for disaster, but for a future and for hope. And you know, sometimes we get caught up in the disaster, right? Crap's happening, right? Because crap happens, right? If you're one of those people that crap don't happen to, I'll talk to you after church because I want to find out your secret. But crap happens. And when crap happens, we can't get stuck in a disaster. We have to understand that God has prepared for us a future and a hope. And it's in the Word. And to quote Brother Echo, that's a precious promise. That's a precious promise. Matthew 11:28-29, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, And I will give you rest. You're burdened down. Life getting to be a little bit of a burden. Come unto him, and he'll give you rest. He'll give you rest when you get weary. And I can stand here and I can tell you that beyond a shadow of a doubt. When you get weary, he will give you rest. Come unto him. Look to him. Too often we're looking to Fox News or CNN to try and get our peace from, or to try and get the next bit of information. I'm a news junkie. I like to see it all. But I'll tell you what, it drive you nuts after a while if you keep your head in it, right? I love to read the news, and sometimes it aggravates me. But I come back to him to get peace, because I know he's where our peace is at. He's where our rest is at. He's where our hope is at. And he'll take that burden from us. If we don't believe that he can, then we might as well not come. We might as well fold the book up and just head the other way. But I believe he can, and I believe you believe that he can, right? Amen. Come unto me, all you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. You know, we all feel weak at times. As bold as some people are, there's still some times when they feel weak. There's still some times when they feel powerless, when they feel that they can't drive it on through, right? Come unto him. Come unto him. And he'll make you strong. He'll give you power. And there's so many more promises in the book. So many more promises. It's filled up with promises. You can go to Proverbs 1:33, John 14, Philippians 4, Romans 8. All these books of the Bible, they have promises for us. You want to get encouraged? Get in the book. Get in the book. Because this book will encourage you. And whether it's a book or whether it's this, right? You can get the Bible on anything in this day and age, and you can look at 17 different translations of what that scripture says at the flip of a switch. You don't have to get your Strong's out and your five Bibles, and you can just go, King Jimmy, Message, Amplified. Oh, there they are. And you can look at them all at the same time. That's my baby girl there. Yeah, that's just an angel. That's an angel right there. That's my baby. I forgot her picture was there. But that's the God we serve, right? There's all kinds of promises. And I was thinking the other day, and I thought to myself, and the name Obadiah came to me. Obadiah. That's a book in the Bible, right? That's a book in the Bible, right? And it's all of like 21 verses long or something like that. Obadiah. Have we read Obadiah recently? Hadn't been on my top 10, right? It's usually not on your top 10. It's one of those you read, it maybe you assigned yourself the task and the desire to read through the Bible. And you get to Obadiah, and it's one of them books. You go, boy, this is a good one today. I only got 21 verses to get through, and I'm through a whole book. Yeah, and then you get to the book of Psalms, right? And it's like 1,427 chapters. I exaggerate. I know you know that. But it's the big one, right? It's the big one. But there's all kinds of, but there's promises in all of these books. So we're going to go to the book of Obadiah just real quick. And I don't even have to call out a chapter because it doesn't have any. It's just the book of Obadiah. And we're going to read, 17 through 21. says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Now, right up to this point, the whole prophetic vein of this book was pretty negative. I mean, it was like, you know, it wasn't good. It was a little bit angry. It was just sort of angry. But here it says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines. And they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria and Benjamin. Shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And listen to this. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And so all that to say this, that no matter what enemy's coming against you, no matter how desperate it looks at times, that God will raise you up. He'll raise you up. The Bible says you are saviors. Somebody in your life, you've had the opportunity to save. Yeah, you have. You've saved somebody. You've been a savior. I'm not saying you're the big savior, but we're saviors, and we're part of him, right? And we've saved people. So understand that. So let's go to the book of James. And I promise this will get somewhere. Don't know where. But it will get somewhere. Book of James. You're sitting here thinking, geez, Jim, just press the button on the phone. Quit leafing through the book. James chapter 5. I've got Jamie back there. She's pulling them up one after the other. James chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 17 through 20. 16 through 20. You're good. You're good. I'm bad. I forgot to change my notes after I changed that. 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So the reason that I brought that scripture up is that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Right? And so when we pray, and so we've all been on, well, maybe not all of us, but many of us have been on the app Facebook, right? And someone will say, I need prayer for my uncle or my great-grandfather or something, right? And everybody will say, praying, prayer sent, prayed, praying, will pray, and all these things. And I've done that. Did you pray? Did you pray? And I'm asking that seriously, right? Because we're quick to satisfy the need, praying, but did we pray? And I say that for a reason. The next time, pray, and then say, prayed, and continuing to pray. Because the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person, a righteous man, a righteous woman, avails much. And what does that mean? What does availing much mean? It means that it is effective, right? And it's fervent. And the result is something happens. If the 327 people that responded to your request for prayer really prayed. If they hit the knee, if they bowed their head, if they effectually and fervently believed and prayed, guess what? Great-granddaddy'd be up and running. I'm telling you, there's a result that will happen if we as a body of Christ effectually and fervently pray for results. This man here came out of the hospital. People can be healed. And you say, well, Jim, not everybody gets healed. We'll have to ask him about that someday. But I do know that it works. And I've seen it work. We need to effectually and fervently pray. And if for some reason there's another thing that happens and that answer doesn't come as we expected, then we still need to effectually and fervently pray. We still need to believe that he's able. Because if we don't believe that he's able, then we might as well just close the book. We've got to have faith. We got to continue to have faith, even in the midst of those things that are not quite like we'd expect them to be. Amen. Can you pull up the message now? Or have you? And I didn't know it. Yeah. Look, we're going to read this out of the message. And I don't have the message, so. Well, I guess I could pull it up on that phone. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Elijah, for instance, human just like us, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't, not a drop, for 3.5 years. Then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. The showers came, and everything started growing again. My dear friends, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back. Now, this is the key. And you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. And that scripture stuck in my head that there's an epidemic of people wandering away from God. And over the last year, it's been even easier to wander away. Because nobody knew if you were or you weren't. It wasn't church. You know, we were doing a virtual for a while. Every church was doing a virtual. We're back in the house. Guess what? Some folks wandered away. And there's an epidemic of it. All you got to do is watch the news, read the news. You can see what's going on. You think, oh my God, what in the world is going on? And it's because there's been an epidemic of people wandering away from the Lord. And sometimes that wandering doesn't take you even physically away. Your mind's just not here. Preach, preacher. Right? Because we even come to the house and we're still, our minds have wandered away from the Lord. We've wandered away. So it's not to rebuke you, and it's not to put you down. It's not to put me down. It's not to put those folks down that have wandered. But it's up to us, right, to go out and get them, to pray for them effectually and fervently, to bring them back into the house, to bring them back into the fold. And I'm not saying it's about these four walls, but I'm talking about this house, right? We're a body. And we work off of each other, and we function off of each other, and we support each other. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Page one. Amen. So it's up to us to work at preventing this epidemic of wandering away from God, and I believe that we can do it through our prayer. Amen. Amen. And so from that, the Lord just struck it in my heart that it's time for a resurrection of sorts, right? A resurrection. You know, we see, you know, there's all kinds of big fancy churches out there and people that have, you know, with the coolest looking preacher, right? He's got the right beard, he's got the right haircut, and he's wearing all the right cool clothes, and they've got great music, and that's all good, because that reaches somebody, and that's not to down that. But I'm saying, you get to see that, but there's a lot of places where we still need some resurrection life taking place, right? We need some resurrection life taking place. So I want to read to you what the definition of resurrection is. Many of you probably know it, right? It's probably in your vocabulary. But it's the state of one risen from the dead. That's pretty clear, right? Lazarus was resurrected. Jesus was resurrected. But listen to this. This is cool. Do you know what a cinnamon is? Cinnamon. Cinnamon, it's that really flavorful stuff that I can't stand. Synonym. A synonym, it's a word, of course, it's similar to the word that you're starting with. But synonyms for resurrection are reanimated, rebirthed, regenerated, rejuvenated, right? Renewed, revived, and this is my favorite, resuscitated. Right? I mean, the church, the body, we need resuscitated. What's in the past is in the past. We need revived. We need renewed. We need rejuvenated. Spirit of Christ, rise up in us. Let's shout and dance. What was that old song? What was that song? Huh? It was in Animal House. That's the only reason I remember. It was that movie back in the 70s, right? Shout? I don't know. No, not Shake, Rattle, Roll. That's an old song. Anyhow, it's about shouting and dancing, right? So we need to... Oh, okay. We need to shout. We need to dance. You know, some of us don't have that in us, and that's okay. But you can shout and dance in your spirit, right? And it'll lift you up, right? Some of us aren't going to get and shout and dance. It just ain't going to happen, right? But inside you can. Inside your spirit can lift up, and it can shout, and it can dance inside. And you might even raise that hand a little bit. Or as some of us... You can hold it down here. I don't care where. Everybody got a way to praise, right? You can do one of these praisers. You can be one of these praisers. You can be this praiser. You can be this praiser. However you want to do it, it don't matter. You might even be this praiser. But it's still coming out of you, right? So we got to get rejuvenated. We got to get resurrected. Praise the Lord. So then, listen. So here's the word. I'm sorry. I love words, and I love the Webster's. I can read the Webster's Dictionary. I'm sorry. And it's on here. I've got it right here, too. So I have it with me all the time. The word resurrect, right? Revive the memory of something. Now, listen. Revive the memory of something. Bring new vigor to it. Invigorate. Revive the memory of something. What's resurrect mean? It means revive the memory of something, right? Bring new vigor to it. Invigorate. Sounds like a commercial for Pepsi or something, right? Invigorate. Probably not Pepsi. So... So then we're having an English lesson today, okay? Anonym. Everybody know what an anonym is, right? It's the opposite of a synonym, right? It's the opposite of the word. And so the opposite of vigor, now listen to this. If this doesn't do anything for you, it did something for me. The opposite of vigor, the opposite of resurrect, the opposite of resurrection is lethargy. Or lethargic. listlessness or sluggishness? I don't know. I think we got pretty listless over the last year, right? I'm not talking about just this body. I'm talking about people, about the world, about we got listless, we got sluggish. You know why? You know why there's still 20 million people or however many million it is unemployed? Because there's no reason for them to go back. They become sluggish and they need reinvigorated. They need to be repurposed. Give me purpose again. I'm liking it. So what's the definition of vigor? Effort, energy, enthusiasm. Let's get enthusiastic. Boy, are we. PPY. Woo! I feel fine. Mighty, 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 mighty good. So if you don't know what that is, that's the cheer for the Word of Deliverance Youth Camp, which hasn't happened in 2 years, right? So we've been doing this youth camp since 1981. And because of this bleh, we had to postpone it. But next year, guess what? We're going to be reinvigorated. We're going to come back strong. We're going to come back resurrected. We're going to come back in force. And we're going to see something happen. But we still have 12 months till then. So let's see something happen here now. Amen? All right. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5. 22 through 26. All right, I got past 10 minutes, so that's good. Whew. You can't shut Lynn down. I mean, he could speak for 4.5 hours. If I get 10 minutes, I'm good. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. I want to read the King James first, Jamie. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And let's go to the message. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments. Not needing to force our way into life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely, legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way, mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities, is killed off for good, crucified. And since this is the kind of life we have chosen, since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. Amen? Amen. That's a good word right there. That's a good word. And the thing that I want to get to is this last verse in the message. And it says, that means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives because each of us is an original. Right? Because you don't have to be like me and I don't have to be like you. Right? And somebody thinking, boy, that's good because I don't want to be like you. No. But we don't have to be like each other. We don't have to be like the guy down the road. We don't have to be like the church down the road. We are who we are. We're an original. You're an original. That's an original right there. It's a duplication of the guy before you. But But there are we're originals, right? We have original folks. We have different feelings. We have different actions. We have different looks. We have different this. We have different that. We are all original. And don't let anybody tell you anything different. You don't have to conform. The scripture says, be ye there transformed, right? And be ye not conformed, right? Don't conform. Be ye transformed into the image of Christ and be who you are. Be an original. Don't fall into line. You know, I don't know if you know the story of lemmings. You ever hear the story of lemmings? Lemmings are this little tiny animal. I don't know how, they're pretty small. I think it's annually or every so often, they'll all just start going, right? It's just like a migration. And they just go right off the edge of a cliff. And they all just follow each other right off the edge of that cliff. Now, it's good for the fish, right? Because there's water down there. They get to eat. But it's not good if you're the lemming. But they just follow along. So don't just follow along. Be an original. Be somebody who knows who you are. And look to him for guidance. Praise the Lord. Amen. So say all this to say this. Romans 12, 1 and 3. It says, you know, his grace is sufficient. But I want to, did I give you that, ma'am? Alrighty. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And I wanted to read that scripture because you go back to the first line of verse 3, and it says, through the grace that is given unto me. And a lot of years ago, God spoke to my heart, and he said, grace isn't something that you can earn, right? And we've heard that in the Word for a long time in this house. But God really spoke to my heart a lot of years ago, and he said, you can't earn grace because this grace is given. It's given to you. His grace is given to you. And so you can't earn your way into this thing. And that's the best part. That's the best part. You don't have to earn your way in. He's already given you his grace. And so let's get to this right here. And I don't mean to preach one of Lynn's messages, old messages, but we're going to talk about the Lion King for just a second, and then we're going to wrap this up. And I'm done past 20 minutes, so this is a big time long sermon here this morning. But we're going to talk about the Lion King just for a second, and then we're going to wrap this up with a scripture, and we're going to go to the book of Psalms chapter 24. Because I want you to understand this morning that you are, you're in him. I want you to know that you're an original. I want you to know that his grace is sufficient and that his grace was given to you. And I want you to understand that you can be resurrected and you can be renewed. If you're struggling right now, if you're in a place in life where things might not just be what you want them to be, God is big enough. Remember that. He's big enough. He's big enough. He's bigger than any issue. And he can bring you through it. So let's talk about the Lion King for a second. So you all know, has anybody not seen the Lion King? Okay. I'm going to get you a copy. You need to see the Lion King. So the Lion King, you know, talks about, you know, it's a Disney cartoon and it's talking about the son of the king, the son of the king of the lions, and his dad gets killed in a stampede, and a lie gets told to him, and he finds himself out in the wilderness, and he finds himself in a place that he doesn't want to be, right? But he's there, and he's accepted it. This is okay. I'm good with this. Hakuna Matata, right? Whatever will be, right? And so I'm good with it. This is the life that I've been dealt. But this guy was destined to be king. And all of a sudden, the prophet finds out that he's still alive. Everybody thought he was dead. Everybody thought he disappeared. And the prophet finds out he's still alive. And so the prophet comes to him. And the prophet starts telling him who he is. And he said, no, that's not me. And he runs off into the wilderness. And he's at a watery hole or whatever. And he's looking at his reflection in the water. And all he sees is himself. And all he sees are his failures. And all he sees are the lies that were told about him. And all he sees is the negativity, and that this is just the way he is, and this is the way life's going to be. And the prophet, now this is the part that I really liked about the whole movie. The prophet tells him, he says that I'm just Simba, you know, I'm just this. And the prophet says, he says, look harder and remember. And he stirs the water. And he stirs the water. And when he looked back into the water, what did he see? He saw his father. You know, sometimes the water's got to be stirred a little bit. And sometimes we have to look harder. And sometimes we have to remember who we are. We have to remember who we are. We have to look harder to see that God in us. And as he looked back into the water, he saw his father. And he saw the truth of who he was. And it didn't matter what people were saying. Didn't matter what lies had been told. Didn't matter how bad things were. He knew who he was. And the thing that we have to realize this morning is who we are. Who we are. We're the God in the earth. We're the reflection of our Father. His Spirit abides in us. And I can tell you, that there isn't anything too hard when you recognize who you are and who is in you. You can get through it all. And Simba recognized who he was, and he went back and won a great victory and retook his kingdom, right? We know the story. If you don't, I'm going to talk to you after. Terry, we'll get you the whole story. But some of the thoughts that came to me were, it's time to stop cowering in fear, because lies that the enemy has told about you aren't true. It's time to start seeing who we are in him, and we need to walk in that, because there are victories ahead. And we want to go to the book of Psalms, chapter 24. And this particular scripture has always just held a very near and dear place in my heart. And I heard a preacher preach on it. Don't know who it was and don't remember. A lot of preachers have preached on it. But we want to read the book of Psalms, chapter 24. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Lord and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Now just listen to this. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. so be it. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. Ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord, strong and mighty in battle. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Listen, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and this King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and this King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord, strong and mighty in battle. He's the Lord of hosts. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and this King of glory will come in. I'm just going to tell you something this morning. There is no limit to what God can do in your life. There is no limit to what God can restore in your life. There is no limit to the resurrection power of Christ in you. There's no limit to what he can do for you. See, too often we've accepted the fact, or we've accepted the thoughts that people have put into our hearts and into our minds and into our beings, that we aren't good enough, or that we can't achieve, or that this is just the way it is. I'm going to live out here in the wilderness, Hakuna Matata. It is what it is, right? That is one of the worst sayings that was ever created by man. It is what it is. I hear somebody say that at a workplace, and I just want to say, what? It is what it is. Everything's going to H in a handbasket. Well, it is what it is. No, fix it. Right? Let's fix it. It is what it is. I don't know who came up with that. Banker, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, probably. Probably. So, if you say it is what it is, and it's one of your favorite sayings, I'm sorry. I can't take it. Don't say it around me, please. No. Just kidding. Just kidding. But let's believe that God can. What did I say earlier? Remember, he is what? He's big enough. Guess what? He is resurrection life. Guess what? He can rejuvenate you. He can renew you. He can restore you. He can resuscitate us. Amen. Amen. He's a good God. He's a good God. Loving with everything that's in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. If you don't know Jesus is your Savior this morning, we're going to play a song. And we want you to know in this house that no matter what part of the service, what time the service, what time in the service it is, that this altar is always open. If you feel the need to come and pray and renew your commitment and your life to Christ. If you just need to come and pray and just get some things off your chest, this altar's open. It's the reason it's here. It's here for us if we have a need to pray. So we're going to sing a song, and we just want to encourage you that if you have a need, feel free to come pray. Feel free to pray where you're at. But know this, he's big enough, and he can rejuvenate and restore you, lift you back up.